Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Message today, and it is my turn to pass it over to Tom.
This morning, we have the distinct privilege of having friends with us from Chicagoland, even though they have weird accents. They are both British, and we accept those Brits. We have our own Brits. But Dan and Fee, I met them in 1996 when Randy and I were living in England. We met them at a I met Dan first at a conference. It was a supernatural, amazing thing, and we have been privileged to work with this couple for the last 27 years in different capacities. Randy and I moved from England in 1998 to Chicago. Dan and Fee came with us. They were much younger. Dan had hair, so did I. Different days and seasons. But they moved to Chicago with us. We were up there working with them for probably 9 or 10 years, and we relocated to St. Louis. Dan and Fee remained in Chicago, and they lead the church in Chicago. Fiona is a dynamic, amazing worship leader. She loves Jesus. She loves Holy Spirit. She loves everything about the kingdom of heaven. You need to get to know her. She's a blessing. She helps Dan in serving the church there. Dan and Fee also have a responsibility towards Life Streams, which is a group of churches around the world that serve in relationship one to another. We call them sister churches, I think, like Vicky Thomas coming to Flourish in December. All those words, she's speaking a lot of times. Jeff and Vicky are in Chicago. We have churches in Chicago, overseas. Dan and Fee have a relationship overseeing that and bringing people together, connecting. It's a blessing. And this couple are dear friends of ours. Randy and I love them. They've ministered to us. They ministered to our children. All four of our children think they're amazing. They'll listen to them before us, and I take no offense. That's a good thing. But they've brought life to us. And in the 10 years, Dan and Fee were part of planting this church 10 years ago with love, finance, prayer, faith, and all that good stuff. So if I could have everyone stand, and we would like to pray for Dan and Fee. Randy, could you come up here with me, sweetheart? Could you pray for them, please?
Sure. Father, I just say thank you for this couple. I thank you for the incredible deposit that you have placed in them. I thank you for the wisdom and the discernment and just the encouragement that they are to so many. And I just pray now, Lord, that you would help Dan share your heart, pass out your father's heart. Father, that you would cover their entire family.
Yes.
Mom and dad, sons, future daughter-in-laws. Father, we just say thank you for them. You're so good to us in giving them to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Could you, before you sit down, could you greet him and just acknowledge the goodness of God? This is Dan Reynolds. Amen.
Wow, you have a carpet on your podium now. This is really cool. Is this like the latest thing? To have a carpeted podium? I don't know. Church, it's so good to be with you. Love Tom and Randy. Love this house. And just slid in today and just fell at home. And church, you're growing.
Yeah.
This is amazing. This is so good. Everything in the kingdom should grow. Everything in the kingdom should expand. And just meeting with some of the leaders and just hearing your plans and seeing the growth this morning and just knowing that God is with you because you can feel it in the parking lot. It's wonderful. And hearing the infrastructure changes and then Andy and Steph moving. This is amazing with their two little kids from the other side of the planet. Many may not know this, but Fee and I are actually from the UK. We're from a place called Bath, or Fee lives just outside, and that was my home church. I got born again there. I'm a pastor's kid, so I grew up in that house, and I remember moving house, and we sold our home so that we could downsize to put money to buy the Forum Cinema, which is now called Life Church Bath, where Jonathan and Ruth, many of you know, are now live and lead that church and are just doing a phenomenal job. But Fee and I were there from 2015 till 2020. We were there a lot the first 2 years. The church had gone through some challenges, and so God spoke to us to go and help. And so we led the church, and the first person I hired was a young man who was single called Andy Williams. And he just took over the worship team and just did a tremendous job and changed the culture of the worship. And he started to write songs. Sometimes I would preach a message and he'd be writing a song about it. I don't know if you've ever heard me use the illustration, the king always has the last move.
Yes.
Andy wrote a song about that. The king always has, I think he says, changed it to the last word because it just made more musical sense. But you're truly blessed to have Andy and Steph here. We're looking forward to them landing in Chicago, I think tomorrow. And then we'll have them for one day before Tom comes and picks them up and whisks them back here. But I want to talk about this morning, not giving up. And I want to talk about not losing heart. And if you know me, I'm normally a pretty happy guy, and I'm definitely a glasses half full. I don't really struggle with depression or at all. And I believe in a victorious church, and I believe that God is in a good mood. And I believe that Jesus came that we may have life and have it in abundance. I believe that we're the head and not the tail. I believe the best is yet to come because the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter until the full light of day. I believe Jesus is coming back for a bride that has made herself ready for a house not made of brick and mortar, but of living stones that are joined together, of which where God lives.
Yes.
I believe he's coming back for a body that's fitly joined together, functioning under the direction of the head, which is Jesus. I believe that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of his God, of our God and of his Christ. I believe it. I believe that Isaiah 2 says, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord will be the chief mountain, and the world will come to Zion, the people of God, and say, teach us your ways.
Yes.
So I believe the sky is going to open up and the trumpet will sound and the King of Glory will return. Yes. I believe that. But I also believe that the Son of Man must remain in heaven until the restoration of all things has taken place. So Jesus could come back tonight, but he probably won't, because there's a lot of work that he's given us to do.
Yes.
So you might be disappointed if you're just waiting for the mothership just to whisk us away and escape this horrible world. Have you ever heard some people say, I don't know if I want to have kids. I wouldn't want to bring kids into this world. It's like, wow, but bring your kids in, because we are the answer to the world. Yes. We are Christ's ambassadors, as if God was making his appeal through us. So I got up early this morning and I'm starting to prepare, and I'm thinking, I was reading this first scripture, which you can turn with me. It's in Timothy, head towards 2 Timothy. And I was thinking, gosh, this sounds really low and this sounds heavy. This sounds, there will be terrible times in the last days. And with all the different conspiracy theories and viewpoints, and there's a heaviness over the world. There's a darkness, Isaiah says, and there is deep darkness over the darkness over the world. Watch this. And deep darkness over the people. In other words, there's actually levels of darkness. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You go into situations where there is an atmosphere of darkness that is even darker than before.
Yes.
Well, we're not to cower away from that. We are the answer, because we turn on the light.
Yeah.
And the light always overcomes darkness.
Yes.
And we are the light of the world. And as I was preparing this, I was thinking, don't lose heart. I was reading scripture, don't grow weary in doing good. And Lord, I'm speaking to myself and I'm thinking, yeah, that's right, come on. And my phone started to go, and I thought, ignore my phone. I'm not a church in St. Charles. They'll figure it out without me. They normally do. And then I answered my phone and I looked and I read my dad had just had a stroke. This is all about 3-4 hours ago. And I looked at it and I thought, oh no. They have no medical care. I know they can't get. I talked to him this morning. He said, we can't. I said, is there any, do you have aspirin? No, there's no aspirin. There's nothing. And I thought, okay, don't tell anyone. I need to find my center, figure out what I'm thinking. What do I think? And I started to pray and till hope came, till faith came, till peace came. I thought, come on, Lord. Yes. And then I thought, what am I speaking on today? Don't grow weary. Don't give up. Keep pressing on. So I want to read this to you. I'm going to pray, and then, because I really need help today, because I then left my notes and I didn't pick them up till right now. So I hadn't written them. That's why I can't remember what the title was, because I didn't actually write one. But let's read, then we're going to pray. But mark this, Paul says, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. There will be terrible times in the last days. People, everyone say people, will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, hello, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its true power, have nothing to do with them. Wow. This is Paul's last letter that he wrote before he died. He's in prison, and he's writing to a young man, his true son in the faith, called Timothy, and that's what he chose to write almost the very end of his writings. There will be terrible times. And then he says, people will be. The issue is people. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. I thank you that you meet us in every season that we're at. Yes. God, I thank you that you know each one of us better than we know ourselves. You know every crevice, you know every secret, you know every pain, every wound, every joy, every success, every accomplishment. You know it, God. And Lord, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for this morning. And Lord, I ask that you would help me. Just to please you by delivering something that will stir your people, to provoke your people to a higher hope, to see things from your perspective in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's keep going on this because there will be terrible times. And I think it is good that we face the reality that the world in which we live in many ways can be very terrifying. But God...
Yes.
And if we don't end it with, but God, we have no hope. And then we've thrown away our lampstand. There's no point in being here. But church, we are the hope of the world. It is Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's Christ in you.
Yes.
The same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is now at work in us. That's a lot of power. That's at work in us. But if we don't believe that we have that power and we don't walk in that power, then we will be powerless, having a form of godliness, but denying its true power. We need to be a people of power. We need to be a people who know his presence.
Yes.
I could fill this room with things that would scare you, and they're real, but God. I heard recently that 20 lawyers were given 100 legal contracts as a test to see how quickly they could go through them and examine the legal contracts without making any mistakes. And it took them exactly 2 days. 20 lawyers, 100 contracts, and they got 85% accuracy. They then put the same contracts through ChatGPT. Does everyone know what ChatGPT is? It's an AI program that has recently, very recently, hit the market, and it's changing the world we live. My son came home the other day and got a low score on his test because his teacher said, was this ChatGPT? Which it wasn't. He'd paid someone else to do it, so it didn't count. But ChatGPT looked over these 100 contracts, and it took 97 seconds with pinpoint accuracy. Goldman and Sachs said in the next 10 years, 300 million jobs will be eliminated to AI. I'm saying these because I want you to go, ah. Because I'd rather you go, ah, here, where we're going to answer the ah with the word of God.
Yeah.
Yes. Rather than in your kitchen where the enemy just goes, yeah. Right. Because the Bible says, I was going to speak on this, but I didn't in the end. And just imagine Israel when they've come out of Egypt under Moses' leadership and they've been there in slavery for all that time and they go out into the desert and they're faced with the sea and there's nowhere to go and they can hear Pharaoh and all the soldiers and the horses charging towards them. Can you imagine the sound of hooves coming to get them and there's nowhere to go and Moses is leading them and they start blaming Moses. You brought us out here to die. We had 3 square meals in Egypt. We knew, why did you bring us out here? And in that moment, God says, Moses, stretch out your staff, and the waters open up, and they walk through on dry land. And when Pharaoh and the Egyptians get there, the waters crash, and every single one of them is destroyed, and God's people go into Canaan on dry land. And there's a little line in there that says this. Moses says, do not be afraid. And there's times right now when we read stuff, when we hear stuff, where fear wants to grip us. To the point where people say, not in the church, why would I want to bring a child into this earth? Because we're called to reproduce and multiply, to rule and subdue, yes, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living thing that walks along the ground. We're called to make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said to teach them everything that I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He is with us. Never will he leave us. Never will he forsake us. You know, it says 365 times in the Bible, these words, do not be afraid. Yes. How many days are there in a year? That means every single day of the year you can find a scripture. Yeah, you can Google it right now. Fact check me. There are 365 verses in the Bible that says, do not be afraid. And church, don't be afraid. But they're coming. But AI is taking over. But what about the wars and the rumors of wars? That's what the Bible says. There will be wars and rumors of wars. But Jesus says, when you hear this, don't be afraid. Yeah. Lift up your head. Stand up. Stand your ground. Yes. Church, we need to stand up. Yes. And not fight with carnally. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities of darkness. And that's why Paul says the weapons that we fight with are not carnal. On the contrary, They have divine powers to demolish strongholds. These are spiritual weapons. We need to be a people of the Spirit like never before. That's why I love the fact that you linger in worship. I love the fact you stay in worship. Rather than just these two fast longs and three slow ones and stand up and sit down, have a nice 3 points and a poem and everyone goes home. What's that? Where did Jesus die for that? Worship, I hear people all the time. Oh, I couldn't go to that church. They just worship for too long. Like, you better get used to heaven. But maybe we're just not pressing in. What? Maybe, you know, Andy's got great teaching on this, the difference between worshiping in the Spirit and the difference and worshiping in truth. Yeah. Both are good. But what it means to worship in the Spirit. I love being in meetings where the worship goes beyond the meeting, where the worship goes beyond the musician, yeah. Where the worship goes beyond the musicians. Amen. It's wonderful. Yeah. I don't have to preach. We know this, but it's the only part of the meeting that's for him.
Yes.
The preaching's not for him. The offering's not for him. The announcements definitely aren't for him. Even the prophetic words aren't for him. They're from him. So the only thing is for him is for worship. Okay. So, church, we need a dream again. We need to find joy again in the midst of our pain. That's why it's a sacrifice of praise.
Yes.
Isaiah 40. Let's turn there really quick. I'm not going to keep you long. We're going to pray in a minute. Or a few minutes. How long have I got? What time do you... Oh, that's my timer? Thanks, Eddie. Okay. That was the young people. There's a timer! Everyone else like, we don't care. Then, yes, we do. You have 13 minutes, buddy. It's like... And then the Oscar music's going to start to play. It's like, oh, the keyboard. Okay. Do you not know, have you not heard the Lord... So you're going to speak twice as fast now. Do you not know, have you not heard that the Lord is the everlasting God, created the heavens and the earth? He will not grow tired or weary, nor will his understanding. He gives strength to the weary and... He gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. He will not grow weary. God doesn't grow weary. Can I suggest that weariness is demonic?
Yes.
God doesn't grow weary. There's a difference between weariness, and tiredness. Jesus was tired, but weariness is of the soul. It goes deep. And Daniel chapter 7 says, before the Ancient of Days comes, the enemy will come to weary. Everyone say weary. The church. I just want to break some lies in here, and I want to expose the lies of the enemy. Yeah. Because these are the things. This is what we're up against. It's a spirit of the age, yes. But there's an oppression, there's a darkness, and it affects God's people. And I just want to call it out this morning, just for no other reason, so you can know what it is tomorrow morning. It's like, I'm not having this. I'm not living under this. I'm not going to be fearful. I'm not going to be depressed. I'm not going to hide. God is with me. God is for me. The kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The joy of the Lord is my strength. If the joy of the Lord is my strength, I need to get some joy on. I need to stop being joy impaired because I need to be strong. Because those who know their God will be strong and do great exploits. Daniel 11:32. Those who know their God will be strong and do great exploits. God wants us to do great exploits. He doesn't want us hiding. He doesn't want us just licking our wounds. He wants us healthy and whole.
Yes.
Okay. So God doesn't, he doesn't grow weary. God doesn't grow weary. Hebrews says, do not grow weary. Everyone say grow. Don't grow, weariness grows. Don't grow weary in doing good. Church, don't grow weary. Amen. Weary means to make old before it's time. Yeah, but hands up, just be honest, right? Hands up if you felt weary recently. Just feel old before my time. Yeah, thank you for your honesty. Me too. You know, if you've gone through grief, it ages you really quickly. At least you feel like it does. You look in the mirror, you're like, what happened to me? Because it's pain. Suffering, hardship, and those things are real. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is the last scripture I'm going to ask you to turn to. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is Paul, Apostle Paul, writing. And he says this: we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Ready? We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Go with me to verse 16 for the sake of time. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Watch this. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving, everyone say achieving. They are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. What?
Yes.
Therefore, though outwardly we are wasting away, but inwardly being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And then he concludes, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Yes. This morning, I had to be very strong with my mum and dad to say, you need to get out of the country now so you can get medical help. To which they said, no, we need to go 6 hours by car in the opposite direction to do something for someone else. And I said, I'm sorry, I don't know who this person is. I don't care about them. I care about you. I'll come and get you myself now if you don't do what I say. Oh, well, we're just tired. That's all that's going on. No, it isn't. And we had this conversation 15 years ago when you had a heart attack. And he had stents put in his heart, then he had another one, and then they decided to move and spend the rest of their lives there. But I tell you why. It's because they are gripped with eternity.
Yes.
They're not looking at the things in the natural. They don't see it. They are locked on heaven. They're just light and momentary troubles. Light and momentary. Paul said these are light and momentary troubles. If you go on three chapters to chapter 11, he says they're what they are. He says, we've worked much harder. We've been in prison more frequently. We've been flogged more severely. We've been exposed to death again and again. Oh, 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. That's with, Just 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent night and day on the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, and in dangers from the sea and from false brothers. And I've labored and I've toiled. I've often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst. I've often gone without food. I've been cold. I've been naked. And beside everything else, I face the daily pressure of my concern for all the churches. And Paul says, these are light and momentary troubles in light of eternity, which these are troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So don't fix your eyes on them. I want to encourage you. I said to Fee, she said, Dan, in the car, Psalm 121, what does it say? I lift up my eyes to the hills. I know, babe. I lift up my eyes to the hills from which my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. These aren't just nice little scriptures that we sew into nice little blankets and put around our house. No, this is the living, final, authoritative word of God. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be on my lips. In other words, I'm speaking to my soul. I'm saying soul, mind, emotions, will. You will praise the Lord. Get up. Get up. We're going to praise the Lord. And suddenly, whoa, there's an anointing. Why? Suddenly the fear is gone. Mm-hmm. I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not going to allow this. I won't have this. And suddenly there's truth. You're standing in truth.
Yes.
And the Lord just says, well done. That's why you're here. Okay. I'm going to give you seven things. I'll go really quick, right? Because I don't want the keyboard to come. Oh, okay, we're really, really quick. Like, this is going to be times seven speed.
Take your time.
Oh, okay. Tom said I could take my time. These are seven things that I think will help us. Though outwardly, we are... I'm sorry if that's a bad confession. But Paul says outwardly we are wasting away. But inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. So there is a natural aspect and a spiritual aspect. There's a part on the outside we have to recognize. And I know it sucks. It's me too. I'm like, wait, what? I'm in my 40s. Fee's in her 50s. But I'm in my 40s.
She looks different.
Here's the first one. As we get older, in the natural, our strength decreases. Everyone say strength. But outwardly we are wasting away, but inwardly we're being renewed day by day. So on the inside, we get stronger. That's why Smith Wigglesworth, you remember Smith Wigglesworth? The plumber from England said, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Because he's a giant in here. That's why Paul says that the mind controlled by the spirit is life and peace. Amen. Our spirit man should be bigger than our brains. Our spirit, that's why we need to be a people of the spirit. That's why praying in tongues is so important. That's why Paul says, do not forbid the speaking in tongues. That's why Paul says, I speak in tongues more than all of you. Because he who speaks in tongues edifies, builds himself up. I have a friend of mine, some of you may have heard of him, his name's Dr. Lance Warnow, and he was speaking at a conference, and I had the privilege of going with him, and he said, Lord, I never thought that I would sit with presidents, which he now does. I never asked for this job. And the Holy Spirit said, yes, you did, Lance, in tongues. That keeps it really on the edge, doesn't it? Now you don't even know what you're praying or asking for. Because you're praying in the spirit and the Lord says, all right then. Yes, done. I'll give you the anointing. And then you're like, where am I going? What's happening? It's like, you prayed for it in the spirit. But you gave me the spirit. Anyway, but pray in tongues and strength will come. Yes. Build yourself up in the most holy faith. Praying in the spirit, Jude says. Pray in the spirit. This promise is for you and your children's children and for all who are far off.
Yes.
We get to speak in the tongues.
Yes.
And if you don't, there's nothing wrong with you. Don't change your theology because it's not your experience. Just keep praying. I'm still praying for this, for the dead to be raised. Yeah. Lay hands on the sick, speak in new tongues, raise the dead. I'd like to see the dead raised. Well, there must be something wrong with you. No, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm just going to keep praying. And I'm going to keep pushing in. And I'm going to keep believing that person died of cancer. I know, it's terrible. I'm absolutely hot. You know what? There's a guy called Josh Luke Smith. We had him in St. Charles last week, and he spoke on suffering. And he talked in pain. And he talked about lamenting. And he talked about the need for the church to understand what grief is. And how so many people, there's so much ungrieved grief. It was so powerful. People that have lost loved ones that have never been able to find any sense of relief in a moment were set free. Wow. I mean, they were sobbing. People were broken down. A guy called Jordan Peterson, many of you heard Josh's poems. They invited him to London to the O2 Arena. And in front of 2,000 world leaders, they asked Josh to speak into the chaos of what God was saying, and he doesn't even claim to be a Christian artist. He is a Christian artist, but that's not how he promotes himself. But under the Spirit of God, Josh's his poems and his spoken word, and he delivered them, and 2,000 people gave him a 5-minute standing ovation. And in the reports, it says, we came to hear Jordan. We left wanting to hear more of Joshua. I would encourage you, get online, go to Life Church St. Charles. It's on YouTube, I don't know. But look, it's just called Hope. And he's speaking, and it would, if you've gone through a loss, you've gone through a bereavement, I don't want to skip over this. It's like people, we skip over it. Josh pulls up his car, he puts it in park, takes out the ignition, undoes his seatbelt, gets out, closes the door, locks the car, and he'll go and sit in the grief and say, until I've got to find a language. And he explains from the Word of God with revelation knowledge the importance of grief, because it's the grief, when grieved properly, that leads to hope. So if you've gone through loss, I would encourage you to listen to it. Number one, strength. We have a decrease of strength, but we need to increase our strength. Number two, the loss of flexibility. I've really, really noticed that recently. You know, when you get older, you like bend down, and you're like, when you get down there, you see if there's anything else you can do while you're down there, because you're like, that was a long way down. It's like, I gotta really think about how I'm gonna get back up. But yeah, if you just, you don't flex as good. But outwardly, ready? Outwardly, we are wasting away, but inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. We need to be flexible on the inside. You know, this is true, that those who led the last move of God are normally the most resistant to the next one. Oh, that's not God. Why? Because when God moved, it was something new. Exactly. And now he's doing something new. That's why Isaiah says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Though it springs up, don't you perceive it? We need to be ready, right, for God to just move in the way he wants to move. And it will probably look very different. Because God often does things one time, and then he does it different. He doesn't do it again the same way. We need to be flexible. See, the message never changes, the method does. The message doesn't change. We should be clear. The Word of God doesn't change. Oh, I used to be a gymnast. Don't laugh. I was actually a very good gymnast. And laugh, Tom. It's true. And then the youth decided to laugh at me. So I said, I'll show you then. So I did some flips and I saw stars for several days. So I realized that we need to be flexible on the inside, just not so much on the outside. But Joshua chapter 3, verse 3 says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant and the priests who are the Levites carrying it. In other words, when you see the priesthood, the Ark, representing the presence of God, Joshua says you're to move out of your position and follow it, and then you'll know which way to go because you've not been this way before. When you see the priest and the Ark of the Covenant, when you see it, when you see what God is doing, move out of your position. In other words, there's got to be a shift. We need to be flexible.
Yes.
We need to say, okay, we're gonna switch here. Well, this is what we do. Says who? Mm-hmm. Mark chapter 7, Jesus says, you have a fine way of following your own traditions taught by man. You honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. You are not like this as a church. I know you're not, because you're led by such great leaders. But church, be careful that you don't stop and love. Well, this is what we do, and become territorial. I do this, and we've always done this. It's like, but God doesn't want to do this. That's why follow the anointing.
Yes.
When the anointing shifts, you know, I have a question for small groups right now. In the world right now, what do you believe grieves the Holy Spirit more than anything else? It's a great question for you to think. What grieves the Holy Spirit? Maybe just don't do that anymore then. Just a thought. All right, you ready? I'm going to move on really quick for the Oscars play. Okay, number three, vision. Our sense of vision goes, our eyesight goes. I mean, I watch it with Tom all the time. He's like, I show him something and he's like, I say, what are you doing? Sorry, I thought he was trying to stretch, but it's vision. People stick their tongue. Okay. Proverbs 28, verse 19, where there's no vision, people cast off restraint. Outwardly, our vision may be going, but our inner vision, we need to be able to keep seeing. Our inner vision. See, watch this. Where there's no vision, people cast off restraint. If we lose vision for our self, we don't care anymore. If you lose vision for your family, you don't care how you treat them. If you lose vision for your marriage, you don't treat your wife right. If you don't care about holiness anymore, you don't care what comes out of your mouth. You don't care what you look at because you cast off restraint.
Yes.
But vision is important, that we keep the vision clear, the vision of what does God want? What is God's purpose in the earth? What's it always been? What will it always be? What does God want from me? What does 2024 look like for Life Church St. Peter's? What are we going after? Because suddenly you get vision. There's the opposite must be true. Where there is vision, people get restraint. Yeah. I'm ready. I see the vision. What's the vision? That shouldn't be like a terrifying thing. We don't know where we're going. God does. So it's maybe perhaps more exercising. Let's press into God and find out what he's saying. What's the Spirit saying? What does he want from us? And then finding a great plan. All right. See, life is God's gift to us. What we do with it is our gift back to him. Amen. This is it, church. We have one life. Yeah. Someone said to me the other day, somebody here in St. Louis, they said, I went to a certain store and the service was so bad. I was stood in line for ages. And when I left, I thought, I want my 16 minutes back. He was kind of being funny, but I thought, I actually agree. There's certain things in life you think, that was a waste of my life. Yes. It was just a stalk going on. But yeah, it's our life. It's going really fast. Yes. Number five, hearing. Outwardly, we're wasting away, but inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. The older we get, we need hearing aids, things to help us, to aid us with our hearing. Because Paul says we are perishing. Outwardly, we are wasting away. You can fight it all you like. But inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. We need to have an inner ear of hearing what the Spirit of God is saying. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. One of the reasons I believe there's such attack on the Word of God right now is because if the enemy can win and get people to believe that the Word of God is not the Word of God, then the next thing we won't have is faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So now we have no sword and we have no shield of faith. I think that's game over, isn't it? So defend this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Get an inner ear. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So we are all a product of the voices that we've heard. You and I are a product of the voices that we've heard, of the things that we've heard. Faith comes by hearing. But that's why we need to be careful what we listen to. Because if you listen to lies, they go in. Tom and I were just talking about this yesterday. One of the words for Satan is the accuser. Yes. He is the accuser of the brethren. So when there's an accusation against another brother or sister, what happens is to the other brother or sister, if it comes that way, they want to defend themselves, so they accuse back. And it's actually satanic, because that's Satan's job. He is the accuser. So when the accusation comes, that's not true, this is true. And it goes back and shoo, shoo, and we're actually doing Satan's work. It is satanic.
Yes. Yes.
So what we can do is just say, hey, let's not do that. It's probably best we don't, because there's six things that God hates.
Right.
And the seventh is detestable to him. Not murder. Not adultery. Not stealing. It's the one who stirs up dissension in the church.
Yes.
God doesn't hate it. He detests it.
Yes, yes, yes.
So let's not do that. Okay, just a thought. I mean, you can if you want. I wouldn't. Number five, taste. Your sense of taste goes. I'm nearly done. Stay with me. Your sense of taste goes. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see, Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. Outwardly, our taste buds may be going, but we can be old in age and the words out of our mouth is sweet, because we taste and see that the Lord is good. He's been so good to me.
Yes.
He's been so faithful to me. And that we still have an attitude of gratitude and a heart that worships him. Matthew chapter 5 in the Beatitudes, in the Message, it says, if we lose our saltiness, how will people taste godliness? In other words, we are the, Eugene Peterson is saying, we're the salt of the earth, but don't lose your saltiness, because it's our saltiness, the flavor in the earth by which people taste godliness.
Yes.
We're his flavor church. If we lose it, How will people know? Who God is to me is who God will be through me. If I no longer taste the goodness of God in my life, and I become bitter and everything tastes bitter, then who God is to me is who God will be through me, and bitterness will flow through me. One of my greatest fears, if you like, is that I become bitter. I never want to become bitter. I want to keep my heart sweet. Yes. And I have a wonderful sweet wife that helps me.
Yes.
Every single day. Number six, memory loss. Memory loss. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, all my soul. Praise his holy name. Forget none of his benefits. Remember, he heals all my diseases. He forgives all my sin. And as far as the east is from the west, he removes my transgressions from me and he remembers them no more. Wow. Church, if God doesn't remember your sin, then neither should you.
Yeah.
There is some memory loss that is good. An inward memory loss about your sin and your former life and the things that you did wrong. Not shame on you, shame off you in Jesus' name. You are not a sinner anymore, saved by grace. You were a sinner. Now you're a son and you're a daughter living in Graceland. Shame off you. And if God doesn't remember it, then neither should you or anyone else's. That's the gospel. When I hear that, it's like where Paul writes to the church. He says, who cut in on you? Who bewitched you? What are you believing? We need to stay free.
Yes.
We need to stay whole. Stay shame free. One of my favorite scriptures is one of the names is Jacob's sons. It says, and God made me forget. This is profound, but it's true. There are things in my life I cannot remember. Conversations I've had with people, things that people did wrong, and I was deeply involved in helping them sort it through. And they're like, well, you remember that whole thing? I'm like, what thing? They're like, what we went through. And I can't. And I think, maybe it was the drugs I took when I was a teenager. I thought, no, it's not, because God healed all that. I say, I can only believe that God made me forget. But they're all things to do with sin and shame that I can't remember. I can remember everything else. I remember to take out the trash, right? Any answer that's not redemptive is no answer at all. Number seven, weight loss. I'll just skim through this one. I don't really like this one. Yeah. Should we leave that one? Yeah. Yeah. Hebrews 12 says this. I promise you I'll end with this. I don't know about anything about time and stuff. So Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says, therefore, just close your eyes for a moment. Therefore, whenever the Bible says therefore, it makes you think about what it's there for. Therefore, since we are surrounded, and we are right now, by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run the race with perseverance, the race that has been marked out for us. Just pause there for a moment, I'm going to continue. But church, we are in a race that was already in motion before we were in our mother's wombs. We were born into this race that has been marked out for us. Some of us are just starting our race. Some of us may be closer to the finish line. And as my mum says, aren't you excited about going to heaven? And everyone's like, what? No. Well, kind of, we're ready to stay. But I know, but once we've finished, then we go to heaven. It's like their whole life is win-win. If we get killed, then we get killed, but then we go to heaven. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah, okay, that's right, yeah. But she lives it. Like, and the writer of Hebrews is, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run the race with perseverance, the race that has been marked out for us. Let us, ready, throw off everything that hinders or the weight that so easily entangle us. See, some of it's sin, and the sin that so easily entangles, but throw off every encumbrance, throw off every weight, everything that hinders. And I just want you to, if you can, just to stand to your feet in a moment as you can start thinking about the weight that you just need to get. I'm not talking about physical weight, right? Hallelujah. We're talking about spiritual things, things you carry on. I just want you to dump them today. And it may be just fear. I'm dumping fear. I'm dumping anxiety. The Bible says, Jesus says, don't be anxious. Yes. We live in a world, we are so set up to be anxious. Right. But Jesus says, don't be. So, because you've all got your eyes closed, because you're such obedient church, no one's even looking around. When you've got that, you can think of a weight that you want to leave here in this building today. I want you to stand to your feet. Now I'm going to pray. As soon as you've got a weight that you want to leave, I want you to stand to your feet. Oh, Sandarabasha. If you speak in tongues, if you pray in tongues, if you can just pray in tongues quietly. If you don't pray in tongues, there is nothing wrong with you. Just pray in tongues quietly. Put your hands out. When you say this with me, say, Jesus, today I'm going to dump this. I'm going to dump it today. I'm going to dump this anxiety. I'm going to dump this shame. I'm going to dump this guilt. I'm going to dump this unforgiveness. I'm going to dump this disappointment. I'm going to dump this selfishness. I'm going to dump this jealousy. I'm going to dump this anger. I'm going to dump this habit. Lord, I just don't want it. I really actually want to run. I actually don't want to be afraid. I actually want to be one of your kids that's face is shiny because I've caught your glory. I actually want to not be joy impaired, but to actually really enjoy life. I actually want to know how to find a language for my pain or for my grief. Will you help me, Lord? So now, Holy Spirit, whatever these things that we've stood in this room today that represents something of weight, encumbrance, something that hinders us that we want to leave here in this room today. God, I ask that we'll just dump it right now. Just let it go. You can do it with your hands if you want. Just let it go. Say, I let this go in Jesus' name. You say it. Just say it to the Lord. In Jesus' name. In his all-sufficient name. In his all-powerful name. I let this go in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I just thank you for this church. I thank you for Tom and Randy. I thank you for this community that's healthy. For a community that's strong. For a community that is standing to its feet. For a community that's standing in authority, for a community that's standing in humility, for a community that's standing in love, for a community that's standing bright and strong and healthy. And God, I just declare over this house that as we turn over this chapter into from one year to the next, Lord, that this whole church will just reproduce. Not, Lord, I just ask that it would go not just into tens by tens, but it would go into thousands. That, Lord, this would be a house of glory that really speaks of a church moving in power, yes, and a church moving in authority, and a church that are shining like the dawn. Yes. Church, you just put your hand, just lift your hands to the Lord. You can smile now. let these things go. Let his face shine upon you this morning. You really are his favorite. Yes. You're not sinners. You don't have to carry shame. You don't have to carry disgrace. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Mm. 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 Thank you, Lord. Just stay a little bit longer. Many years ago in Death Valley in California, it was so, so dry, and it hadn't rained hard for so long. But the pitter-patter of rain started to fall in the desert. And it rained, and it rained, and it rained, and it rained, and it became a 100-year flood. You can Google this and fact-check me too, but it rained so hard, and the water went so deep, it touched flowers and vegetation and plants that scientists thought were extinct. And photographers and scientists from all over the world, some of you are nodding like you know this story, came to Death Valley to marvel at flowers and species of flowers that they thought they would never grow on the earth again. I just want to leave you with this. If we continue to lift up our heads to the Lord,
yes,
without shame, without fear of tomorrow, and be God's people today,
yes,
I believe He will rain on us and start with us individually.
Yes.
And I believe that once God wants to do it today in our hearts, all of us that we leave here, like the water of the Holy Spirit touched something of a seed deep in me. Some of you, maybe a prophetic word that you had when you were a child, and you've always held on to it and been like, ah, it must be not God then. And God says, that which you thought was extinct, I'm going to touch it by my Spirit. I'm going to touch it like the waters in the desert in Death Valley in California, and that which you thought was dead is going to come alive.
Amen.
So Holy Spirit, if you can just imagine whatever those dreams are, whatever that flower is, that which is once beautiful in your life that you thought you'd never see again, Lord, I just speak to it and ask just that it would come to life today. It would start to blossom. Even this week, God, that for some of you, it's joy. I just can't get away from joy. It's just the joy of the Lord being your strength. And you feel weak and you feel old and you feel weary, but the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Yes.
It's not just a nice poster or a scripture or a bookmark. It's the truth. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It's the joy of the Lord. It's the joy of Jesus. It's the joy of the Lord Jesus is our strength. He is our strength. It will make you strong. It will make us strong. We need to be strong. We need to be strong. We need to be flexible. We need vision. We need to hear.
Yes.
We need taste. We need it, church. So God, just thank you for all these things. And Lord, even from the foolishness of preaching today, God, I ask that there would just be one thing that each one of us from your word, which is final, which is alive, would stick and stay in our hearts and take root and bear fruit, and fruit that will remain. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love you guys.
Okay, while you're standing, and if you haven't walked out yet, just want to pray for a wonderful man. Daniel mentioned his dad, he and his wife. Many of you will know if you're part of this family. We've talked about it many, many times. It's funny, I was with Dan 15 years ago when his dad had a heart attack in a restaurant in Chicago. I was there with Dan when his dad was experiencing all that, and yet God healed him, restored him, and they've seen thousands and thousands and thousands touched. So I just want to pray as a family, so you just be restored. He's a godly, godly man. He pastored for decades with his wife. So can we pray for him real quick? Father, I thank you for this amazing man. Lord, I thank you that you've called them from their mother's womb to serve you. I thank you for the love of God in this man, the peace of God in this man, the call of God on his life. And Father, we speak to his body now in Jesus' name to respond to the health of heaven. Father, we release health and blessing and wholeness into Peter's mind, into his body. Whatever's happening with these stroke-like symptoms, Father, we say stop and cease in Jesus' name. Health and blood flow and life, any blockages be gone in Jesus' name, that healthy blood would flow to every part of his body, every part of his mind, every part of his brain, Father. We release blessing and wholeness to this man. Lord, that he would be restored, that he would be able to move into the next things that are so much on their heart, to be able to accomplish, to bring life and heaven to that amazing country. We bless them, Father. Health and wholeness in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen and amen. If you want somebody to pray for you, come up. We'd love to help minister. If you're going to go out, be blessed.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.